for discussion on the passage. So just fit into whatever group you want to. Just find one and or somebody invite them into your group. And we'll. So we're in Acts chapter 8. If you would turn to that, and we'll start at verse 25. It's a little bit of a dilemma because when you just kind of read through this, it's kind of just a story, an incident that happened, and you know, I'm not sure that I'm going to spend a lot of time. I'm not sure how much time we'll spend in our discussions with this, but I really didn't want to just do this quick and then go halfway into the next chapter, which is Saul's conversion, which really needs a Sunday all by itself. So we're going to, I think we can make a lesson out of this. I think there's some things here that we can apply to our lives, and maybe we can have some good discussion. Hopefully we can have some good discussion about that in our discussion groups. So in Acts chapter 8, this is just following, obviously, the first part of the chapter where Philip had gone into Samaria and had begun preaching, and people were getting saved and baptized, and then Simon, and then the Holy Spirit came upon them, and that kind of thing. And the elders, Peter and John, I think it was, headed back to Jerusalem, and now it goes on. And then you wonder sometimes, why did God pick and choose what is recorded in Scripture and what isn't? Because we know that this is part of this scenario. Let's not forget, this is the beginning of the church, and it's exploding. And it now is leaving Jerusalem, and it's going like a wildfire through Samaria. And from there, it will go like a wildfire throughout the then known earth. So you can imagine that there are countless stories and incidents of God's people sharing the gospel with other people, right? There's countless of them. But we have this one recorded. So I'm not quite sure that I know why. Maybe that's something that you can discuss in your classes. Why this one? But in verse 25, so when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem, speaking about the elders, and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. It's just kind of like a little phrase, but there was a lot happening in that little phrase, preaching the gospel to the villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So I was reading some commentaries, some different people's opinions on this, and it says the angel of the Lord. It's kind of, a lot of people think it was simply the Spirit of God directing him. So I'm going to kind of interpret it like that because that's probably more like it would happen in our lives. So, but somehow God gave him direction to go south on the desert road. So now he was preaching in villages and people are getting saved by the hundreds and lots of things going on. All of a sudden, he's supposed to go to the desert. How many people live in the desert? Not very many. So he was directed to go south to the desert road. Verse 27, so he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. I'll stop just a second. So Ethiopia was a kingdom on the Nile River. Candace is not an individual person's name. All of the queens were called Candace. I don't know why, but it's a term of the ruling queen. So this eunuch had come to Jerusalem to worship, and it's kind of interesting because eunuchs were, in the Old Testament, were not even allowed to be a part of the worship experience. But anyhow, this thought is that he was a proselyte. He was not actually Jewish, but had latched on to God through the Jewish religion and was very intrigued by that and went to Jerusalem on the journey for truth. He was on his way back. Verse 28. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation, for his life is removed from the earth? The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. I'm going to stop there for just a second. Thinking about us, how does this relate to us? How can we relate to this scripture? How does this apply to the talents that God has given us? You know, when all of us have experienced a new birth, we've been given something. We've been given life. We've been given forgiveness. We've been given a spiritual gift, right? Is that fair? The question then becomes, what do we do with it? How do we use that? So we have, before this, we have evangelism mostly seen as crowds and people and preachers and, you know, whopping success and thousands of people coming to Christ and so forth. Now we have evangelism seen as a one-on-one hitchhiker along the side of the road. Evangelism wears many faces, as many faces as are sitting here today. There is no one way to do evangelism. Some of us will never, ever have enough courage or even the desire to get up in front of 1,000 people and start thumping the gospel, right? Some of us are just not made that way. But some of us can go to our neighbor when our neighbor has a need, and when our neighbor says, what does this mean? We can open our mouth and we can open the scriptures and say, this is what this means. And we can evangelize that way. The matters, the idea or the concept of how to do it is not the issue here. Or in our lives, it's not the issue. The only issue is, are we willing to listen to the Spirit of God when he says, go to the desert road? When he says, go to that chariot, listen to what that guy is reading, and then walk through that door, as minimal as it may seem. Philip could have thought, what? I'm supposed to leave that for this? And this is just one guy? The results were not supposed to matter to Philip. And I think it's interesting that God seldom, if ever, reveals to us the bigger picture. Does he in your life? Do you ever? I don't think it's even possible for us to see the bigger picture. But what Philip probably didn't see or couldn't have seen was that this guy was a high up official in the government of Ethiopia. And when he became a Christian, when he went back to Ethiopia, it was the seed of evangelism through that whole region, right? How was he supposed to know that? All he was supposed to do is just do what the Spirit of God told him to do. Go talk to this one person or just see what's going on. And then there's a few things that I think are interesting here that I think are a little, that can help us maybe a little bit in our lives. And that is, Philip began with a question. Do you understand what you're reading? And I think that helps when we're, when we see people that are struggling or whatever, I think it's more helpful to ask a question than to give a statement, because a question kind of opens the door for them to respond. And when you open that door, and then their response, I think generally will tell us whether they're even remotely open to the gospel or not. But when he said, how can I? If nobody explains it to me. Years ago, this story always reminds me of an incident that happened in my life. It was a Schwarzentruber Amish man, an older man, and we were talking, and then I asked him, I said, what does someone have to do to get to heaven? And he said, keep the commandments. So I said, I asked him, I said, have you always kept them? And he said, no. And so I asked him, what are you going to do now? And his answer was almost exactly like this. He said, I don't know. You tell me. Oh, that was so much fun. I was so glad I knew Dutch then, because I could try to, in a very Dutch way, explain to him the gospel. This man has been going to church his whole life. He had no idea what to do with his sin. That is really, really sad. But it's just an illustration, and I wish I would have a lot more of those in my life, where you ask a question, and when the person is seeking and is open, it just opens the door. You don't have to be very smart. You don't have to be very wordy. You don't have to be a scholar necessarily or anything. You just have to share what God has done in your own life with that individual. But it is really hard, and I've tried this other people, and when they have no interest, it's really hard, because you can talk until you're blue in the face and it doesn't. And we live in a culture that has, for the last years, been really indifferent to the gospel. But I think that's going to change. I think that's going to change. I hope that it's going to change. I think some of the things we see happening in our culture, I think people are going to start thinking more about what is truth, what is right, and maybe we can start asking some more of those questions, and people will respond with, I'm not sure, what do you think? And then we can give them biblical answers, biblical truth. But we got to know it first, right? So we better be studying and learning and doing everything we can so we know what to tell them when those opportunities come. But just a few things that, again, reminding us that it's not really up to us to know the results of anything. It's only up to us to, like Philip, it says he got up and went. He got up and went. Spirit of God said, do this. He got up and went. So when the Spirit of God prompts us to do something, God wants us to follow through with it. And we never know what's going to happen. We may end up being the seed to evangelizing a whole region of the world. Possible. Philip had no clue, I don't think, that this was going to happen. Okay, then going on. Verse 36. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. I think here is a very concise illustration of what it means to be a Christian. He opened the scriptures to him. He understood in his heart. He believed with his heart, and he said, look, water, what is he saying? I'm committed. I want baptism back then already meant I'm going to be a part of something. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this Jesus thing. I want to be a follower of Jesus. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They went down into the water, and he came up out of the water, baptized, and born again, child of God. And interesting that when they came up out of the water, verse 39, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. It's just fascinating. So we would think that Philip should have been with him for a long time to disciple him and to help him, but God just took him away. This man had all of his own interest in the Word of God already, right? He was already reading it. So I think at that point, he understood so much about where he already knew what was going on, and he was ready to be released to go do the work that God had called him to do. And Philip would have been just maybe a hindrance to him. So God just moved him somewhere else. But Philip found himself at Azotus. I wonder what that trip was like for him. He was like here one day, one second, and there another second. He found himself over there. I bet that was a quick trip. And as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. It's an interesting story how evangelism happened to this one man, and then he went back to preaching in the cities and all of that. So just a few things that maybe you can discuss. Maybe you can share this with your group. What method of evangelism do you feel comfortable doing? Or, do you see yourself doing? And just be willing to share that with each other. I think that'd be good. And maybe you can give some illustration, personal illustration of a time when simple obedience to the simplest prompting of the Holy Spirit, God did something through that in your life or through somebody else's life. And then thirdly is, can obedience to the Spirit be cultivated in our lives? Understand what that means. Can it be cultivated? And if so, how? How do we cultivate that in our lives? Those are the only three that I have, and you can, your group leaders can make up all the questions you want to. But so at this time, we have groups 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I think we're probably not grouped out, so if smaller groups want to get together with other groups, that's, you guys know how to do it, so you're welcome to go into your discussion groups.